Yes. This program is brought to you today by the Alexander Success Group. Okay.
Let's go.
He's very excited. Yes, we put Alfonso Alexander on the mic and on the controls, apparently. So we are so thrilled to have you in today. You just exude success and leadership, and we are just in awe to be here with you.
In awe.
In this space. Yes.
Wow. You use two words I don't often hear when someone talks to me. Exudes and in awe.
In awe. There
wow.
it is.
I think I need to move to Carbondale, Illinois, so I can hear more of this so
yes,
often. I'm happy
Nashville.
To be here. Thank
no
you guys
doubt.
For having me.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when we're showing off all of our market abilities, hence the logo, the MGM podcast, Market Abilities by Growing Media, immediately you think of, okay, why do we market, guys? I mean, we want to be successful, and we want other people to be successful, correct?
Correct, yeah.
He can listen, he's going to break it down, he's going to give us all the tools we need, and without a doubt, we'll all be successful after this.
Wow.
I mean,
let's do it.
That's
then.
An intro right there.
Man.
Wow.
That's a lot of responsibility. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. Do you guys, how do you want to start receiving what it takes to be successful from this gentleman?
Yeah. I just kind of want to know, like, when, I know because you do a lot of consulting with different, you know, different companies and that type of stuff. What do they typically ask you when someone calls you and they have an issue? What's that conversation like?
So most companies, when we engage, mm-hmm. are in a situation where they have gotten started, they've had some success, and now they've plateaued. And it could be a specific issue that they're dealing with, or they just don't know. They just know they were growing, and now all of a sudden they've kind of hit this plateau. So that's where I can be most helpful, because I can come in, assess some things, ask some questions, and help identify areas of opportunity, either on the business growth side or on the operations side, because either one of those or a combination of both could be the reason that they've hit that plateau, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was surprised to learn that the formula is fairly similar across the board, whatever it is that you're attacking or encouraging people, you know, to overcome. What is it that you utilize or put into place that will help these people out usually?
Usually it's a conversation to understand the scope of what they're trying to do, to understand kind of some history, get some context for it. And then from there, I start asking questions to probe. Certain things will come up, and it's just based on experience and having been around, but certain things will come up. So, for example, I may say, well, how much growth do you have from existing business, mm-hmm. and how much do you have from generating new customers? And then whatever their answer will be, I know typically if they have problems getting more business with existing customers, then there's usually one or two things that are not happening on a delivery.
That's a tough conversation to have, really.
And you know, it is. And what makes it even more difficult is the customer, if they like you, but they're not completely pleased with you, mm-hmm. they won't give you more business, but they may not tell you that that's why they're not giving you more business. And so you don't know that because you feel like you're fulfilling. But then somebody like me, I can come in and say, well, are they growing? Yes. Are they growing their business with you? No. Well, let's understand why.
Smart. That makes sense.
Do you encounter a lot of people that are running these businesses and they're stuck in their ways and they don't want to change whenever you do give them certain things, or are they normally pretty proactive with that?
It's a little bit of both. You know, when you think about entrepreneurs, usually an entrepreneur is somebody who is great at doing something and they decided to branch off and do it on their own. And because they're so good at that, then they could grow that business to a certain level. But then that same individual is great at whatever that specific skill set is, mm-hmm. but not necessarily great at managing a business. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. many times they realize, wow, I know how to video,
yep.
but I don't know how to run a video production company because that's really a business. I need somebody that's got a business mindset to help me. Mm-hmm. But then in other cases, you may have somebody that's really good at one thing and they have a little knowledge of business and they've done some things before that helped them get to level one, but their goal is to get to level four. And so they're tied to those things that got them to level one and feel like if they just work harder at it, they can get to level two and then three and four. But it doesn't often work that way. Yeah. There's some systematic things that they miss out on.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We were talking about this the other day.
Yeah, we were actually talking about this the other day about how, you know, people like Marcus and I, who were very good practitioners of our craft.
Right.
But whenever you're starting your own business, and it may still be small, it's hard to teeter the line of being the practitioner, the manager, and the entrepreneur all within your business.
Right.
How would you go about, you know, separating those? Because when you're starting out, you kind of have to be that person.
Yeah. Starting out, you have to do it all because you don't have the revenue, right? Unless you go into the business with investors that can help bring some things to the table, or you go into the business with business partners that have skill sets that are different from yours. Mm-hmm. And you can bring those along, either one of those, at any stage in the business. Typically, if you get an investor at a startup phase, they have to like the idea and like you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you've gotten a little bit of a track record and you need this to get to the next level, then you show numbers and you show, here's some opportunity that we have, but we just don't have the capacity to get to it. And now that individual or those individuals can help come to the table. But that's what I would say. We all have skill sets in varying areas. And what the best leaders are able to do is to look at some of the areas where they're weak or deficient, and they bring others on the team that can bring that to the table.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that is the formula of growing media.
Is it a big issue in those companies where like they don't delegate well enough? Is that something that's kind of an issue or no?
You know, that's so there's an emotional attachment that an entrepreneur has to a business that they started from scratch. And so sometimes delegation can be a problem because of that, because they look at it like, well, I gave Alfonso this opportunity. I asked him to do this. He did it at a B level. I've been doing it at an A level myself. And so now I'll just keep doing it. I won't give it to Alfonso. There are two problems with that. One is you brought Alfonso in to do it in the first place, right? And so now you're paying this employee and you're not giving them the work to do, and you're having to do it. So the double whammy hits you because
it's worse almost.
It's double. It's exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's tough within any business because it is your baby. You want it to be successful. And I think we're all very protective of that. And oftentimes it's, you stop and ask yourself, okay, who do I want to allow in my sandbox? Who do I want to play with? And, you know, you go in search of the great ones. And what I've noticed throughout time is that sometimes the head of a company or business may say, well, I always want to stay on top. I always want to be the best. My philosophy has always been, I want to be the weakest link. If you surround yourself with phenomenal, talented people who have those talents that you do not, which you alluded to that, you know, why would I bring on someone who does exactly what I do? I need people who do those things that I don't do. And then that's what makes a great team. And I think that's what we have here. And I'm not saying that it happens overnight. This took 25 years.
Yeah, you know, I've got a friend who buys and fixes businesses. Literally, that's what he does. He buys them, he fixes them, and then he resells them. Not chopping them up to, you know, split them up that way, but literally he fixes them and then resells them. Oftentimes he resells them to the same company or entity they bought them from. That's the amazing thing for me. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that he told me early on is he almost never buys businesses from the original founder of the company because there's such an emotional attachment there that it's not a good deal for him because he likes to buy them at a discount, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So that's one side of the coin. The other side of it, though, that's related is most entrepreneurs don't go into a business endeavor with an exit strategy.
Right.
And because they don't have an exit strategy, they can be too emotionally tied to that business. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is an entrepreneur should go into this business saying, I'm going to work this, build it to a certain level so that it can be turned over to a family member or a young person on my team, or I get it to this revenue level and then we sell it and then maybe I'll go start another one, or maybe I'll go to the beach. Mm-hmm. But having an exit strategy so you can look at the end helps people to stay more grounded versus just going in, this is my baby, I've worked it, I'm going to continue to work it. And then you have so much of a strong emotional tie, and it can be problematic when you hit a plateau.
Well, I think that's difficult considering our businesses, because I feel like the business is made up of the people. Your business, well, it's you. Do you know what I mean? And we have been approached. People will say, you know, let's put a value on it. Would you be interested in selling it? And then that's something that's so interesting to think about, because it's like, what am I really selling? Will I be selling the gear? Because the people probably are not going to go with it, because, you know, in particular, when you're the product, when you're the entity that they want. So that's been tough in our industry.
But it's possible, though, because what they could be buying is your expertise. So you are a dynamic presenter, you're a dynamic marketing thinker. And so that's the expertise that you bring to the table. Mm-hmm. But there's so many other elements of the business, right? So they may be wanting to buy that and mm-hmm. everything that comes along with it. Mm-hmm. And so now you still get paid as an equity partner or owner of the business, and they use you as a specialist to do just that part that you are great at.
Where do I sign?
And everybody else is still there.
I mean, that's possible. I've never heard it in those terms before. Yeah. That's really eye-opening, actually. Yeah.
I encourage you guys with MGM, the other businesses that you guys have, take a look at what you feel like would be the right exit strategy and put that as a part of your plan so that strategically you're working toward that, right? So build it to be a $10 million business. And when we hit $10 million, we're selling. And whoever the buyer is, this is what the price tag would be, and this is what they get. Mm-hmm. They get my expertise in what I do best, my expertise in what I do best, and mine in what I do best. And all of you guys have that as part of the package. And then it'll happen if that's what you want the exit strategy to be.
That's been tough, because even with the television show, The Spiel, we've been afraid of growth, because when you put it out there, man, you're so vulnerable. And can't you hear the people saying, hey, the redhead's really good, but the blonde has to go? You know, but I think you do have to open yourself up to that, and it would afford you another opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But sometimes the truth can hurt.
And it can. But then in that same scenario, just think about, what if all you had to do was show up on set and do the interviews?
Yeah, exactly.
And this machine of a system that's a company that bought you does all the rest.
Mm-hmm. We need to talk later about that. That's some good stuff right there.
Yeah.
I've never heard it in that context before. I've always thought about that, and I didn't ever think of it as an exit strategy, but a lot of people don't have that, what you said earlier. Like even my dad, he started his own company, but I don't think he's ever thought about an exit strategy.
The thing is, everybody should own a business, because there's this grand illusion that, oh, it's going to be fantastic and it'll be easy and I work for myself. And I can tell you, there have been, when I transitioned out of mainstream media, which I did for 20 years, and went to work for myself, started missing sleep, staying up at night, wondering how you would balance the books. Nobody's going to outwork me, so I'm the one that comes in, turns the lights on, cleans the toilets, turns them off when I leave at night, you know, because I want to be that involved. Now, I do trust people to do the work, but as far as the hours go and such, it would be nice to know that that exit strategy includes so many hours in the day, so many responsibilities, and then you're out, you know, you get to go home, because that business ownership is something, it never stops.
You don't work for yourself, really, when you're a business owner. You work for all your customers and your staff.
Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the mindset that I tell young entrepreneurs all the time. You're like, I don't want to work for anybody. Well, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you will be working for everybody.
Exactly.
And that's okay. But just know, you get to make the decisions, but you will be working for everybody. And that's a good thing. It depends on just what your makeup is. Sure. I love that you have the attitude that people won't outwork you. Mm-hmm. Because I think people that work with you, when they recognize that, then that inspires them to work harder.
Oh, sure.
So I believe in that same philosophy.
Very nice. Look at that.
That's huge.
I mean, he's even got the word success in his group, you know, right there. If you go online and you check it out, it's Alexander Success Group, but Alexander Success. It's like right there.
Do you keep the success word in all your stuff because it's your thing? Like,
yeah, that's, you know, because I firmly believe that my mission is to help other people identify and create success for themselves, right? And so you need to be better because of a relationship that we've had. If not, then I didn't accomplish my mission. That's the only reason I'm even in your life, is to help you be successful. And so whenever I've started a business, I've always tried to figure out a clever way to work that in to the business. And I've gone through some really interesting things. You guys are marketing folks, right? So let me just let you laugh at me at some of the missteps I've made. So when I first launched my consulting business and decided to fully launch it as a business, I named the business Success Solutions because I like the double letters,
the alliteration, right? And such. Yes, very good.
But then picking the word success, it's got two S's at the end, and then solutions, it starts with an S. So now when people are trying to find my URL, it was crazy. I mean, it's like, is it three S's? Is it two S's? You know, I'm like, man. So I just kind of let that live for a little while, and then I rebranded. And a friend of mine started a business, and he had this clever word that I'd never heard before. And it was part of the Greek alphabet, or it was a Greek word, I guess is more appropriate. And I forget what it was, but I was like, you know, that's clever. And I can use that as my elevator speech. So let me go find a good word that says success in Greek or Latin. So I found a Latin word that means harvest, growth, success. And it was pretty easy. All the rest of them were like multiple words, right? That word was Proventus, Proventus.
It's a cool word.
So cool word. I was like, oh yeah, I can build around. And then people are like, what's Proventus? And then they started saying prevent. And then they started saying, oh, it's Provent. And it just got crazy. And I was battling and really trying to avoid using my name. I just thought that would be a little bit too self-serving. And Angie, you know this, prior to COVID-19, I averaged over 50 speaking engagements a year all over the country, on college campuses, at businesses, conferences. I mean, I was all over the place. And so people started to know my name, and people that advised me from a business standpoint said, dude, you have to get past not using your name.
Right.
You got Proventus. Who the heck knows what Proventus is? But they will remember, hey, that guy Alfonso spoke at this conference. We need to bring him in. And I'm like, nah. So then I came up with Impact Success Group, Alexander Success Group, Alexander Leadership Group.
Oh, you're getting closer. Look at
all
it.
All these different things. And I'm like, man, I still don't want to use it. And then one guy, he broke my heart. He said, look, man, you have some giftings to share with people, and you're not sharing them because you can't get past this branding piece. So you need to suck it up and just go ahead with your name, because you're letting that hold you back from delivering your gift. So if you're telling me your mission is to help people be successful, but you're not doing it because you can't figure out what you want to call yourself, or what you want to call your business, then you are not accomplishing your mission. And so that day I went out and bought alfonsoalexander.com.
Yeah.
And I changed Proventus Leadership Group to Alexander Success Group. So my name's all over it now.
Well, I mean, your mama gave it to you, you know, so it's a really good name, a strong name. But here's the other thing. You know, when you put your name on something, now it's serious. All eyes are watching. You can't hide behind anything.
That part I don't care about. I just don't want somebody to think, oh man, he thinks he's all of that.
Look at that.
He, you know, puts his name on there. But at this point, people who know me by name. So I'm going with it. I'm not going to let myself be held back.
Yeah, and that, and like, people are going to judge anyway. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what the name is, even if it isn't your name or is Proventus or whatever, people are just going to find a way to judge it.
Yeah, right. You're right.
So it doesn't matter anyway. You know?
Yeah.
But at least I don't have three S's in the middle.
There it is. You know, it's an interesting journey. We talked on our last show about just doing it differently. I mean, there's no right way to do it. We want to encourage people. There are individual stories around this table of success and what that means. And you can have it for yourself. Just make sure that you have that clear definition. Make sure you have good friends and good references, referral sources there, and people who will look inward. They will look at you. You can look out. And I tell you, that unified effort is the only way to go. I've always said, you can get to the top. If you're there alone, it's awfully lonely. But if you take everybody up with you, man, look at the party we're going to have. You hear me?
You like the party, don't you?
You know what? I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate. There's something. We work hard, but we play hard. Absolutely.
Good. A good quote that I like to always like remind myself of is, a rising tide lifts all boats.
That's the guy. That's deep right there. All right. Well, listen, we can continue this discussion with you guys. How long do we go? I like to always ask that question. Okay, we're at 22
minutes right now. Yeah.
Okay, so you may have a joke. You want to do some tap dancing?
No, I was gonna talk about your schedule. So during the day, I know we came down and I shot for you in Nashville, and we went through your day. We didn't start, you know, at the very beginning, obviously, but you said you have your schedule planned out from
8 a.m. It's 4 a.m. No, to 8 p.m.
It was 4:30, right?
Yeah, 4:30.
To 8. Yeah.
Pre-COVID,
talk about that a little
pre-COVID. That's what my schedule was. And I'll tell you, you guys coming down and following me that day was, I don't remember when that was, but it was
first day back.
July or something.
It was hot.
It was hot. It was either June or July.
Yeah.
And that was the first day since mid-March that I actually felt like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I found myself with COVID and just trying to adjust. Yeah. I found myself sometimes driving, like, where am I going?
Oh, right.
Well, let me go over here first. And I just was not together because I wasn't scheduling like that. But that day was scheduled like my normal days.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question, Marcus, I typically would get up at 4:30 in the morning so I can be at the gym by 5.
Mm-hmm.
I work out from 5 to 6, go back home, shower, get to my office by 8. And then once I hit my office, then my assistant would have things scheduled in, you know, hour increments for the most part. And we literally, I'd have to fight for a 30-minute block or an hour block to catch up on emails.
Yeah.
And people like, man, you never return my email. I'm slow with emails because I'm in meetings talking to people all day. And then when I get home, you know, we typically will have dinner between 6:30 and 7 o'clock. And then once I settle down, then I'm done.
My brain's going all day, and then I get back home, and I don't want to stop. You gotta unwind. Mm. But how important is it for young entrepreneurs to have a system like that? Because a lot of kids, you know, my age or a little bit younger, coming out of college, they don't have any structure in their day at all. They wake up whenever they want to. Even if a lot of my friends from when I went to college, you know, they're out of school now,
mm-hmm.
and some of them want to be entrepreneurs, some of them want to do marketing, all this different type of stuff. But a lot of them don't have any system, don't have any structure in their morning, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they just start whenever they want to.
Yeah.
How important is that?
It's critical. And I'll tell you for a couple of reasons. One is it helps you to be efficient, number one. But then for that age group, more than anything, it helps with fighting procrastination, because that's mm-hmm. the biggest thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you look at it like you do your finances, the most successful people financially are people who establish and operate from a budget. And they literally will take the approach like a Dave Ramsey, and he budgets every single dollar that he know he has coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you do your time that same way, and you know, okay, from 8 to 8:30, I'm going to have a brief meeting. From 8:30 to 9, that's when I'm going to read some things that's going to help enrich me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you budget it out to that level of detail at either 30 or 15-minute increments, you would be amazed at how much more effective and how much more you can get done.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I have a to-do list, I might say, okay, from 1 to 1:45, I'm working on the items on my to-do list. And then at 1:45 to 2, because I've got a meeting at 2, then I'm returning phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it at that level, especially for a young person, can help establish a habit, a routine that would blow people's minds at how much more efficient they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that boils over into like your speed, getting back to clients, getting just responding to things during your day. Cause I know when I first started, people would email me And I would always watch Gary Vee, and he's like, email him back, like, quick, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I would always email back, and that put me ahead in that area. And it was just all the way through everything, but especially in communication and all that.
Yeah. On the other side of that, I've made the mistake. I started asking the questions. I like to get up also very early myself, and that's because that time of the day, no one cares where you are. At 4:30 a.m., you can be you, and you're all to yourself, and I think everybody needs that so you can be better for people later in the day. But once it starts, it feels like it never stops. And I remember asking the question not so long ago, when did it become okay to call someone late in the evening or on a Sunday or when you're with your family? And whoever I was with at the time said, the moment you answered.
That's true.
And that's I thought, wow.
Yeah.
So then that's, that's when you have to take it back. Because when you're in marketing, I understand, hey, if it's a crisis situation, which we do have to take care of those some of the time when our clients are exposed out there online, we handle it. But just know that, you know, we've got it. You don't have to panic and blow up the phones. But it is a fine line, indeed.
Yeah, it's very true. There's a handful of people that I will accept a call from after 6 p.m., family primarily. And then there's a handful of other business people that I will communicate with after 6 p.m. Because I started at 4, right? And so by 6, I'm kind of wiped out. Mm-hmm. And that's those are the parameters that I put in place. Now, it used to be if somebody called me before 8 a.m., I'm like, what the heck is going on? But everybody knows that I'm up and working before then. So everybody's like, if I want to get him, then that's what I'll do. I'll call him this early.
Right.
And it happens. It happened when I was driving on the way here. I was on the phone literally the whole time. And I left at, I think, 6:30. So it's all good for me in the morning, but you do have to manage that later.
I think when you know you've been a success is during the day, you know, whether we're doing our typical marketing work or we're, you know, putting proposals out there or meeting with clients or we're doing a television show, you should be absolutely worn out at the end of the day, like you brought your A game and you were on. And if you truly do what you're supposed to do, you're exhausted. You are just depleted of energy. And then you're going to know this was a good day, whether you guys are in an edit session or, you know, anything. Just give it all, you know, give it all you've got. And then when you're worn out, you need that refuel time, you know. Overnight,
well, into the next morning. Feels better too. Like I can chill out if I worked hard all day.
Oh yeah,
but if I haven't, it's the worst.
You sit there the whole time, like I need to get that done and that done and that done. Yeah. So yeah,
it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah,
I love it.
I think most people regenerate energy better if you have a really exhausting, you know, long day of work. Whenever you do sleep that night, coming the next morning. I mean, for me, when I wake up that next morning, I'm ready to go.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Oh yeah,
it's like the energy and the momentum that you have had from the day before or the week before keeps carrying over.
Yeah,
you know,
I love it. You know, I think the thing that we can take away from this podcast today is surround yourself with those people that you want to be more like. Because I think there's a saying somewhere that you're the average of what, 6 people or something like that.
5 people that you spend the most time with.
I'm going to say 6 because I'm going to add you to my list. I'm like one to.
I'm not already on there.
Oh yeah. Oh,
wow, that's messed up.
You are. I'm just talking about those people I see every day.
I thought more of myself than I should.
He was my 6th man, yeah, no doubt. So, but again, you know, this podcast is designed to help you out. We don't have all of the answers, but we can go get them from people who have been successful in your field and what it is that you want to accomplish. So, I look forward to doing some things with you.
Definitely.
From the think tank, I think it is.
Yeah,
thoughts
we need
from
to have
the
some
think
thoughts
tank.
From the think
That's
tank.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thoughts from the think tank. That's
oh,
a
man.
Good name right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't steal it. Don't steal it.
No. Try not to. I don't know. Hey, maybe.
He's already bought like the overstuffed recliners and stuff like downstairs. It's serious. I mean, he's got like a whole set. So, yeah, we'll be coming to you from there. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
so.
I'm loving it. And I want to come back and talk with you guys about how you source customers. Mm-hmm. And strategies around that, because I know particularly entrepreneurs, they need help in that. And what happens is people go after this shotgun approach, right? And they just like try to cast this huge wide net when really they should be rifling in on an ideal customer.
That's something that we've been
narrow casting, not broadcasting.
Trying to work on a lot lately because that goes a lot with budget too. Mm-hmm. We had a few different clients reach out and they want these certain videos. And we thought, you know, maybe we'll go with a little bit lower of a budget and get the for sure land the deal. But we were talking and we were like, you know, we have to project higher. You have to. And that narrows down who you're going to get instead of just shotgunning
sure.
out there.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And we actually land with clients. And
they're good clients. It's good a clients. Good relationship because yeah. you can take on everybody, like you just pointed out. But, man, sometimes, if they're not willing to invest in themselves, it's tough. So you do need to vet that, definitely vet those individuals. So
absolutely.
That could be a whole podcast right there, though.
Hey, that's it.
Yeah, right. Bring me back. We'll talk about that.
100%. Let's cue the music. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks so much for listening and watching.
Peace.
Bye. Peace. I love it.
Let's go.